I can think of perhaps no more wonderful words than the words that the apostle starts out this 8th chapter of Romans with. There is therefore now no condemnation. Perhaps a better way to translate the no there is there's absolutely no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There is never going to be condemnation for those who are in Christ. And I wonder, as we listen to those words, do we truly understand them? When we think of condemnation, we think of the opposite, which is to condone something. So to condemn something is simply to be against it, whereas condoning something is to be for it. So if we speak against a certain ideology or we speak against a certain practice, we are said to condemn it. But the word is much stronger than that here. It refers to the entire sentencing, including the execution of the sentence in the court of law. So for someone to be condemned, it is to be found guilty and sentenced for the crime that they have committed. And we have been seeing, as we have been looking at chapters 5 and 6 and 7, and now as we come to chapter 8, we have been seeing the rich blessings of what it means to be justified by faith. The terms of the court, to be declared righteous, to be declared not guilty, but not based upon our own merits or our own righteousness, but based upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ and received by faith alone. So that we've talked about justification and the fruits of justification, that we have peace with God, that we've been reconciled to God, that we who once were his enemies have been now brought near because of what Christ has accomplished. And not only are we justified, but we are being sanctified. That is, we are being cleansed by the Holy Spirit who is working within us to enable us to die more and more to sin and to live more and more to righteousness. And we saw last time that there is within us a struggle that continues to go on in the struggle of every believer. As Paul struggled, so too we struggle with the presence of indwelling sin. But nonetheless, we should not grow discouraged, for as the apostle ends chapter 7 and begins chapter 8, he reminds us of the victory that we have over sin through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, verse 25 of chapter 7. And then to begin chapter 8 with this, with these marvelous words, no condemnation. We know, don't we, that outside of Jesus Christ, that if we don't have faith in Jesus Christ, we stand condemned. That's what the apostle opens with in chapter 1. There is no excuse. There is no excuse for the one who says that he doesn't know that God exists. That's what the apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 3, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that the wages of sin, chapter 6, are death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. So if you are in Christ, you are justified. You are a sinner, but you are a sinner who has been justified by faith. And the three essential words there in verse 1 are these three words, in Christ Jesus. And those words are the equivalent, are used more than 164 times by the Apostle Paul in his letters. It means to be united to Christ by faith. It means that you have put your faith and your trust in Christ alone for your salvation. It means that you not only trust Him, but that you are seeking by the enablement of the Holy Spirit to live a life that befits one who calls themselves a Christian. It means that you consider yourself dead to sin and alive in Christ, alive to serve Him. It means that you have peace with God, that you're walking not according to the sins in which you once walked, but now you are living as the new man in Christ. It means that you're different than you were before, that you are justified, that you're being sanctified, that you no longer delight in sin, that you fight with every ounce of the grace of God that is within you to put sin to death. For you are united to Christ by faith. And it means that you're no longer slaves to sin. And although you struggle with sin, it does not rule or reign over you. You have victory through Jesus Christ. And so Paul starts out here with this marvelous encouragement to us, to all who are in Christ Jesus, united to Him by faith. He starts out with this encouragement that there is therefore now no condemnation. There once was condemnation, but now for those of you who are in Christ, there is now absolutely, positively no condemnation. And in verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." You have been set free by the Spirit of God. For the law of the Spirit has set you free from the law of sin and death. What was it like when you continued in your sin? When you lived under its passion, when you allowed it to drive you and persuade you, when you were a slave to sin and death? That's what he's speaking, that we have been delivered from. You know, it's amazing to me that when a person is outside of Christ, they may think that they're alive. But they're most miserable, seeking the passions and desires of the flesh. Outside of Christ, all they can think about is what they want and how it pleases them and how it satisfies their longings. They have no concern for anyone ultimately but themselves. But something changes. There's a transformation that begins to happen when God, by His Spirit, works faith in the heart, uniting a person to Christ. They are now free from the bondage to sin, free from the penalty of sin, free from the power of sin. Jesus, our Lord, said, "I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." To be in Christ, to be united to Christ, to look to Christ by faith means that we are free from bondage and slavery to sin, to walk in it no longer. And I want you to notice the emphasis here in verse 3. "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh." It's what God did, right? This is what God accomplished. The emphasis is not upon our weakness, but upon God's power. "For God did what we could never do. God did what the law could never do, for the law cannot save anyone, no matter." And it's not because there's a problem with the law. We've seen that. The problem is with us. We can't keep the law perfectly, and in fact, there are times we don't even desire to keep the law at all. We don't have the ability to save ourselves. And by our slavery to the passions of our desires, we show ourselves to be condemned according to the law rather than saved. We're under God's wrath. We're under His displeasure. But it is God who did what the law could not do. It is God who sent His Son. God so loved the world, we read in John 3, and I'm sure you know it well. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And the reason that Paul says likeness is because Jesus, the eternal Son of God, took on flesh, but He did not take on sin. He is not a sinner. He never was, and He never will be, for Christ was obedient to every point of the law. Praise be to God that He sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. We turn to the book of Hebrews. We read about Christ as He becomes man. In chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, we read this. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that He helps, but He helps the offspring of Abraham. And a little later in chapter 4, and in these verses we read this, that we are to draw near, verse 16, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and help and find grace to help in time of need. You see, we have a Savior. We have a Savior who took on flesh. We have a Savior who became man. We have one who was willing to take on our humanity. And in His humanity, to endure the wrath of God for our sin. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, was willing to take on the penalty, the punishment for the sin of all who look to Him by faith. He was willing to endure God's wrath. He satisfied, in His obedience, He satisfied God's justice. And what do we read here but that He condemned sin? It's amazing, isn't it? If you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation for you. But for your sin, it was condemned. It was condemned by Christ in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. And so we have the justified sinner, and secondly, we see that sin itself is condemned. That Christ has met the righteous requirement of the law. And so if you are in Christ Jesus, you have died to sin and you are alive in Jesus Christ. And now you seek to obey the law, not because you want to earn God's favor, not because you're hoping that by being a good boy or a good girl that you're going to make your way into heaven. No, you obey because you recognize that at the very heart of the matter, you have violated God's commands. But God has sent his Son, who's been obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. So let me ask you today, do you claim to know Jesus Christ by faith? If you do know Jesus Christ, then friend, your heart has been changed. You no longer delight to walk in the old paths. You delight to walk in obedience to his law, not out of fear that you're not going to make it into heaven, but out of love for what Christ has done for you. That he's paid the penalty. That he's given you the ability to walk in newness of life. You're no longer ashamed to own him as your Lord. I'm more and more aware, and I suspect you are as well, as you watch the news, as you see life becoming more and more divided. I am more aware every day that either we're going to delight in Christ or we're going to delight in the passions of our flesh, that we're going to live out the sinful passions and desires that dwell within us. There's no middle ground, really, is there? Either you've been set free by the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus, and you delight to do his commands, or you are enslaved to sin, walking according to its passions, its desires, its lusts, and delighting in those things which bring misery and death. Friends, if you are in Christ, know this, that Jesus Christ has condemned sin for you. That you are no longer walking according to the flesh. You are no longer walking according to the Spirit. And while you struggle, and you will struggle until the day when you reach glory, nonetheless, you have the victory in Jesus Christ. You are assured that the Spirit is progressively sanctifying you, that you are more and more dying to sin and living unto righteousness, that you are not the person that you once were. And while you are not yet what you should be, you are different than who you once were. You are changing. Why? Because you have a Redeemer who has redeemed you from sin and judgment and hell, and he has taken you and rescued you and ransomed you and purchased you out of slavery. He's purchased you. With his own blood, he has ransomed a people for God. Is that not an amazing blessing to think about? You have the Spirit of life within you working to transform you into the very image of your blessed Savior and only Redeemer, Jesus Christ. So you could say and sing as we sung this morning with the slave owner, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. But now I see." You see, God justifies the sinner by faith in Jesus Christ, and he condemns the sin, and then we see here that he sets our minds upon the Spirit of God if we are his. What an amazing contrast is given to us here in verses 5 and 6. Look what it says. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The mind set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. It cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." What a contrast. If you are in Christ, you are not identified by, nor characterized by, your flesh. You are no longer setting your minds on the things of the flesh. You no longer have as the center of your world yourself or the world itself, but rather you are not satisfied with the sinful deeds of the flesh, but you delight in Christ. And Paul says here, if you set your minds on the things of the flesh, that's death. Could it be any clearer? Oh, you say, that could not be. Oh, no? If there are any listening this morning who think that their minds being set on the flesh could not bring about death, just ask yourself the question, where has my mind being set on my flesh really gotten me? What has been the result? Oh, I know. The passions and the sinful desires of the flesh are pleasing, but only momentarily. It delights you for a moment's time, and then there is misery, and there is pain, and there is death. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Set your mind on these things, and guess what? You're setting your minds on death. Set your mind on the Spirit. There is life and there is peace. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus to his disciples as they were fearful before his death. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. He promises his disciples a place with many rooms. And then he says, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The world tries to give us peace. It tries to tell us that things aren't as bad as they really appear to be. It tries to tell us that you're not in danger when you're in grave danger. And so the world tries to give us all sorts of peace in all sorts of ways, but Jesus says, I give you a peace that the world can never give to you. He says to his disciples, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the one who gives to us peace. Not the deeds of the flesh. You know, I've seen plenty of person who set their minds on things of the world. I've seen those who set their minds on taking drugs, mind-altering drugs. And you know what's interesting? They don't set out and plan to die. They look for some ecstatic experience. They look for some delight that they can get from this drug. Most of those whom I've met and who've overdosed on drugs never set out to do that. They set their minds on the pleasures of this world, and once they were captured by the temporary passing pleasures, they became enslaved to those things, and they gave in to those things, and what happened? They died. And friends, the same is true about all the things that the world tries to pass along our way, things that will make our life more pleasurable and joyous, sex and drugs and alcohol and money and success, things that can be good and things that can be bad, but all these things, my friends, if they become an idol in our minds, if we set our minds on these things rather than on Christ, it brings death, misery, and death. And blinded by our sin, we cannot see the things of God. We cannot behold them. And we do not think about God. And the minds are blinded, carrying out the pleasures of the flesh. And what does Paul say? And they're hostile to God and cannot please God. Friends, how important today to be reminded that it is Christ alone who overcame the great desires of the flesh, who was tempted in every way as we're tempted, yet was without sin. It is Christ alone that we are to set our minds upon, for it is in Christ alone, united to Him by faith, that we are free from by the Spirit of Christ to live lives in obedience to Him, lives which bring about joy and not fear. Lives of obedience out of thanksgiving, knowing that we do not stand condemned. No condemnation doesn't mean lawlessness, but rather delighting in God's law. Why? Because we know that apart from God's giving of His Son, we do stand condemned. But by sending His Son, God has done what we could never do in our sinful flesh. He secured for all those who are united to Him in faith, He has secured an inheritance in heaven. He has justified us, He is sanctifying us, and He will at last bring us to our everlasting reward. So I ask you, are you in Christ by faith? Those three words, so vitally important, in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation. You stand before the throne of God, before the judgment seat of Christ. You stand as one who has been justified, declared righteous in His sight. And you are one who by the Spirit of God is being made righteous until the day when you will be in His presence. And let me assure you, friends, that in that judgment, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is peace. And there is freedom. And there is joy. Because you know that when the day comes, you can be in the presence of the Lord forevermore, enjoying the bliss of heaven and enjoying the best things in this life even now. God has set you free. There is no condemnation. May it be that you are united to Christ by faith. And if not, ask why. Why would you not look to Christ by faith? Why would you not look to the one who has given His life? Why would you be ashamed of Him before the world? Why would you not look to Christ? Looking to Him in faith and knowing the forgiveness that comes through Him and through Him alone. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of flesh, sinful flesh. Let us pray. Gracious God, I pray that there would not be one person within the hearing of Your word this day who would reject the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that there would be not one within the hearing of this word, whether from this pulpit or from other faithful pulpits throughout the land. I pray that You would be pleased to work, that those hearing might not set their minds on the things of the flesh, but that they might be united to Christ by faith and know the glorious truth that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For these things we pray in his name. Amen.